Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living a Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Okay. Welcome. I'm so happy to join with you today. Oh my goodness. Yes, yes, yes. And we're going to have an awesome class. I can feel it. The energy is very, very high and good. And I am so grateful that you said yes, that you're participating with us in these beautiful classes. It's such a joy and a pleasure to me to join with you and to have this great experience of healing our minds together. Woohoo! Oh, I'm grateful. Grateful, grateful, grateful. And let's see here. I am just checking out some technology things, so we're in alignment, totally in alignment, and that's a good thing, a very good thing. Ah, it's a beautiful day. I'm in North Carolina today. I was here for the weekend doing a Forgive and Be Free retreat, which was powerful and beautiful, and I stayed an extra few days to enjoy the beauty of the mountains and also to anchor our classes together. And it's been lovely, just lovely. The leaves are turning, it's gorgeous. And I'm so grateful for Mother Nature and the opportunity to be in nature and to see the beauty of nature. I find it incredibly refreshing and restorative and healing to my heart. And we're going to do the second class today of Living Without Fear. And I see a whole bunch of people coming on the line right now. So I'm going to share a few things while people are coming on the line so nobody misses any part of the class. So we're posting the replays, and you'll get an email when we post the replay. So then you know when it's there and you don't have to go look until you get that email and you know that it's there. And let's see. One of the other things I'd like for you to know is that I'm endeavoring to video these classes and to present them as videos, perhaps with some images and visuals to help reinforce the points I'm making. So I'm doing something new. I like to do new things and explore my own ability to be creative and to speak to people on all levels. So I'm a very kinesthetic learner. I do better with visuals and audio and movement and things like that than I do with just the written word on a page. So that's why I really love the class environment versus reading a book on my own. I also know the power of being the two or more who are gathered in the name and the nature of love, and how profoundly healing that is. So I love to be in the community and be in the flow of Spirit's inspiration, which for me is very different than just reading a book. So one of the things that I have found is that information isn't healing. Information isn't healing. And I can feel that might be something that's covered in the class today. I'll also tell you as we're gearing up to begin here that I really practice that truly helpful prayer or the purpose prayer that's on page 28 of I am here only to be truly helpful, and that I don't have to wonder what to say or what to do or where to go or any of those circumstantial things, because Spirit will lead me and guide me, tell me what to say and when to say it and where to go, and I really depend on that. So my life is my preparation for sharing and teaching. I'm constantly learning and clarifying my mind and healing my mind and opening my mind, opening my heart. And sometimes in a class, I have no idea what's going on, in a sense that we're going in a new direction or something new is coming through. And I love that. I love being able to be spontaneous and not have a lot of notes that I'm trying to follow or some curriculum that I'm sticking to. I really like being able to let the Spirit guide me. I find that it's a much more powerful class, but that's something I learned how to do. And one of the things I'm doing with the Power of Love Ministry, actually there's quite a group of us that are doing it, is we're opening up to more and more ways to support community and to support people who are interested in being professional light workers. And so I have a spiritual counseling training program. It's a certification program. And I also offer a spiritual counseling intensive training that's just a week-long training that's part of the certification, but it's not it's something that people can take on their own. And in the Power of Love Ministry, the ministry I founded that supports all these Living A Course in Miracles classes and free giveaways, including the Course in Miracles app, we're embarking on a ministerial program, which I really think of as a teaching program. And so next year, there will be classes in teaching, teaching workshops, teaching classes, writing curriculum, and also speaking. These are all things I've learned how to do, and that learning's been very precious to me. I love being able to share, and that's what, to me, teaching is. It's sharing, sharing from the heart, sharing. I think the most important thing I could share with anyone, which you'll see today, is I can share how I learn. So that's really the main thing that I can teach people is how I learn, how to learn. So that's what we're going to get into today in the Living Without Fear. It's learning how to live without fear. So it feels like we've got a quorum here and we're ready to rock these classes out. So our class will be in the neighborhood of 1 hour from now. Sometimes Spirit goes a little longer. I go with the flow. Yes, I do. And I am grateful. Grateful, grateful, grateful. So let's take a breath together, and then I'll pray us into the beginning of our class, and we'll be off and running in our Living Without Fear. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. This is our second class. It's a homework class. I'm Jennifer Hadley, your host for the entire series. And our first two classes are on the topic of living without fear. And this is something that's very dear to my heart. I've learned so much about living without fear, which really is living in peace and harmony. And what I learn is a treasure to me, and I am so very happy to share it with you. So today I'm going to begin, as I always do, with a prayer. And I invite you to turn within with me. And I like to place my hand on my heart and remind myself that I am wholeheartedly available for spirit, wholeheartedly saying yes to love, wholeheartedly willing to let go of the past and be guided by the higher Holy Spirit. So we take this breath of love and gratitude and we open ourselves to the unlimited flow of love. We open ourselves to the unprecedented wisdom of spirit. We partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self to remember and to recognize that our true nature is already as holy can be. We cannot become any more holy than we already are. We are grateful, we are thankful to open ourselves to this flow of love and to relinquishing any and all thoughts of lack, limitation, attack, and separation. We are letting them go by giving them to the higher Holy Spirit self. We're giving them to the Holy Spirit, giving them to our elder brother, the Master Pastor Jesus, and a letting Spirit do the heavy lifting. Truly, we fly on the wings of the Holy Spirit together in love, and we share the benefits with all beings because we are one with them. In gratitude, we allow our healing to be. We know it's done, and so it is. Amen. 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 So I'm going to begin today with recapping a few of the things from yesterday. And basically, we're never upset for the reason we think. This is one of the early lessons of A Course in Miracles. I'm never upset for the reason I think. So why am I upset? I'm upset because I'm choosing to align with the ego. Every time I align with the ego, I do not feel peaceful and harmonious. And I think one of the ways that's helpful to understand this is to understand about wanting. Because wanting is very related to fear. And it's also very related to happiness. So let's say that I'm saying to you that I want something. And right now, I'm holding a mug with some apple cider in it. And it's apple cider time here in the east, the northeast. And now let's say you can't see me, but if you could, and I was sitting here holding my cup of apple cider in front of you and saying, oh, I could be happy if I just had some apple cider. Boy, if I just had something even to drink, I would be so happy. I really would be happy if I had a beverage right now. Oh my gosh, that would make me so happy. You, if you were looking at me and saw me holding the mug of cider, you'd say, well, Jennifer, why don't you just enjoy what you have? You have it already. You have a glass of fruit juice right there in your hand. Why don't you just enjoy it and drink it instead of wanting it? Well, that's the whole thing, is we don't want what we already have. We want what we think we don't have. And when we're happy, a lot of the time, it's because for a moment, we think we have what we want. And so, for instance, we might think, oh, if I just had a great job, I'd be happy. I'm going to take a sip of my cider here first before I put it down. We think, oh, if I had what I wanted, I'd be happy. And I'm not happy because I don't have the things that I want. But it's not true, because that a lot of times we have a momentary experience of happiness, because we think we've got what we want. Ah, I'm happy because I have what I want. But that's really part of the illusion. In fact, the reason why we're temporarily happy is because we stopped wanting. We stopped wanting because in our mind, we've been deluded into thinking, I have what I want, and that's the thing that makes me happy. The truth is that joy is unconditional. Joy is one of the characteristics of the teachers of God according to the Manual for Teachers. It's one of the 10 characteristics of the teachers of God is joy. And our joy is unconditional, just like our love is unconditional. Our freedom is unconditional. Our peace is unconditional. Our joy is unconditional. And joy is really different than happiness in my mind. Happiness is circumstantial and joy is not. However, in A Course in Miracles, happiness and joy, as far as I can tell, are interchangeable. So we'll go with that because this is living A Course in Miracles. So our happiness does not come from circumstances. Our happiness comes from knowing we're in alignment with Spirit and being loving. That's the very thing that triggers it's being in alignment with love and joy is when we've let go of all the things that block our natural joy and happiness. Just like being in the flow of love comes from letting go of the blocks to love. And when we think we're happy because we have what we want, that's the delusion. We're actually happy in that moment because we stopped blocking the joy, the happiness, by wanting things. Now, if you think about the things that trigger your fears, it's often related to wanting. And as a very practical application of this course, and Jesus talks about wanting a lot, but not quite in the way I'm talking about. But remember that this was written decades ago, and there's new learning that's coming all the time. And so I share with you something that I've learned, that when I say I want something, I must think I don't have it. And so in the teaching of the Course, in the teaching of Jesus, we've heard, seek first the kingdom, which is within, and all else will be added unto you. So seek first the kingdom. The kingdom is our treasure. It is our connection with Spirit. It is the love that we already are. That is the kingdom. And when we seek to experience that, to be that, to know that, to feel that, to share that, then everything else is added unto us. Because the kingdom is that gateway of love. Love is wisdom. Love is joy. Love is peace. Love is harmony. Love is freedom. Love is beauty. Love is truth. Love is pure. Love is everything. Love is all that there is. It's all that's real. So when we seek first to know our loving heart, to express our loving heart, to be in our loving heart, to be in the flow of giving and receiving, then everything is added unto us. Prosperity, abundance, wholeness, freedom, joy. Love unlocks it all. Because love is our true identity. When we're in the flow of love, everything is available to us. Everything. When we're truly in the flow of love and there are no obstacles or barriers to love. And then there's no fear. So the key to living without fear is living in love all the time. Now, yesterday I was talking about when we're in opinions and judgments and beliefs, then we're not in alignment with the truth. We're in alignment with what's false and the past. So we're not present in the now moment, which is where love is. So when we're wanting, we must not realize that the kingdom is within. when we're wanting and needing and craving and feeling a sense of lack and limitation, then we must not realize the kingdom is within. So we've been deluded to thinking the kingdom is out there and we don't have it. It's not ours. So we're left wanting it. And a huge portion of people's fears every single day is thinking that they don't have what they want, they don't know how to get it, or they do have what they want, someone's going to take it from them, they're going to lose it, they can't hold on to it. And all of those fears and judgments come from this belief that we are not already loved, that the kingdom is not pre-installed, that we have to get it. And so a huge number of the fear triggers that we experience on a daily basis come from wanting, craving, needing. And so as a practical application of the Course and really living without fear, I invite you to make a decision now that every time you hear yourself say, I want or I need, that you pause. Every single time you say, I want or I need, you pause. And you consider, if everything is pre-installed, if the kingdom is already yours, it's within, what is there that you could want? Instead of wanting and needing and energizing lack and limitation, because that's what wanting and needing does, instead of energizing lack and limitation through wanting and needing, what about making a 180 degree turn, a U-turn, and saying, everything I need is within me. The kingdom is within me. And I am willing to access that kingdom and eliminate all the causes of fear. And when someone in our life, a loved one, seems to be in lack and limitation, right? Because many of us, we have experiences where people in our life, they seem to be caught up in drug addiction or poverty or abusive relationships and all kinds of things. And we move into fearful thinking about their situation. Instead, we can say, just as I have the kingdom within me, they have the kingdom within them. And to honestly know that I am seeking the kingdom now, and so are they, regardless of the appearance, regardless of the appearance. So this goes to one of the things I was saying yesterday, lesson 25, I don't know what anything is for. I do not know what anything is for. I have definitely experienced situations and read about beautiful stories of karmic healing where a wise being took manifestation in the form of someone who's suffering physically, mentally, emotionally, in order to be a loving presence in somebody else's life and to help them learn compassion. And those experiences are beautiful acts of service. And think about it. If you were, let's say, a being who's on a path of enlightenment, and you would like to be of the highest service to someone who is really also on a path of enlightenment, but very much struggling, having a very difficult time, and they have a commitment, let's say, to incarnate and to really confront their limited beliefs or their experience in the past of an unloving heart. And they've made a decision that in this lifetime, I'm going to learn how to be generous and kind and compassionate and patient. So they don't start out that way, but that's where they're headed. And we encounter that person who's struggling, perhaps, to learn to be generous and kind and loving and compassionate and patient. And we meet them in their journey of learning to be loving in all ways, all the time. But in that moment, they're not being as loving as we think they could be. And we go into judgment of them instead of seeing the Christ in them and knowing that they're on a path of healing just like we're on a path of healing. Instead, what if we go into attack thoughts? Then we're not helpful to them. And because we are attacking our brother who is crying out for love right in front of us, we are going to feel afraid. That's right. When we attack our brothers and sisters who are struggling to be loving, to be compassionate, to be kind, to be patient, to be generous, just to even be considerate or aware, not narcissistic in some ways, and we attack them because of where they are in their journey, then we're not remembering to teach only love, because that is what we are. And that's why we feel afraid. Now, in my life experience, what I've observed is, because I used to do this all the time, I used to watch television, let's say, watch the Oscars or something like that, and maybe watch it with friends, and to attack the people I saw on the screen. Oh my God, look at her in that dress. What is she thinking? That's hideous, blah, blah, blah. And to say, oh, that was a terrible movie. They don't deserve an award. Whatever. I used to sit there and judge. And for me, back then, that was fun. That was fun because in my little egocentric world, I felt better than those people. I felt more powerful than those people because I was judging them. But I didn't realize at all that the fear that I would feel later was directly related to my choosing to attack. So yesterday I was talking about how every thought is like a ripple on a lake. At least I think that was yesterday. Sometimes I'm not sure when I said it. And sometimes I wake up from dreams where I've been teaching in the dream and sharing in the dream in whatever dimension I was in. And then the next day or later I think, well, wait a minute, was that a class in this world or somewhere else? So, but every thought we have is dropped onto the surface of a lake, really, which is the one mind. It's like a drop of water or a stone being dropped onto the surface of a pristine lake, a surface, and it ripples. So we're feeling other people's ripples, they're feeling ours, because we share the same mind. And if we keep dumping trash or pollution or poison or toxic waste into that one mind, because we're the one that's dumping it, it's literally like if we were drinking from the lake, from the same point at which we're dumping the toxic waste. So when we're judging and having opinions and thinking attack thoughts, if you think about it in terms of this one mind is a beautiful, pure, pristine lake. We're putting pollution into it, toxic waste, and we're putting that toxic waste in at the very point from which we're also drawing our nourishment and our drinking water. Do you wish to pollute this water that you rely on for your life, for your well-being? Do you wish to pollute it? So this is why the attacker always feels attacked, and the judger always feels judged, and the lover always feels beloved. In our defenselessness, our safety lies. So when we're not attacking, then we have nothing to defend. That's our defenselessness. There's nothing to defend unless we're attacking. So the one who's attacking always feels a need to defend. So I invite you to look at the habits you have in your life of defending yourself. Is that a mental habit that you have, that you interpret your experiences in life as though you're being attacked, even when nobody's attacking you? Do you interpret it as though you're being attacked? And if your mind is constantly defending, then that's what's happening. You're interpreting your experiences as an attack. Why would you have that pattern? You have that pattern because you have the pattern of attacking. The attacker always feels attacked. This is one of the most valuable lessons for me that I've seen in my studies of A Course in Miracles, is to, for me to recognize, the reason why I'm defending myself is because I'm so caught up in attacking others. I know, consciously or unconsciously, that the attacker always feels attacked. So we're not necessarily being attacked, but we're fearful because we are attacking. The cause of all fear is our attack thoughts. And our attack thoughts are our opinions and judgments. And our opinions and judgments are always thoughts of lack and limitation. So the habit of lack, attack, limitation, and separation brings a constriction. It's a constriction in the flow of love, abundance, prosperity, creativity, wisdom, harmony, joy, freedom, and all the spiritual qualities of God. Everything that is that kingdom. So when we seek first the kingdom, everything is added unto us. All right, thank you, Tina. She's messaging me that I'm breaking up some, and I don't have anything I can do about that, but thank you. The internet is going in and out, but I appreciate you letting me know. If you find that I'm really dropping out, you can let me know that. That's really helpful to me. Thank you, Tina. It's my wonderful assistant, Tina, who's so helpful to me. Let's see, where was I? I'm going to take a sip of my cider. All things work together for good. There are no exceptions. And as I was saying yesterday, when we start making exceptions, we're on a slippery slope. And it's easy to make exceptions. Oh my God, so easy to make exceptions. It's so easy to make exceptions. And yet everything works together for good. I was contemplating this yesterday. We are in a time in human history, in our spiritual history making, where we're seeing the return of valuing the divine feminine, the divine mother, and that energetic of divine mother is coming back into the forefront of our awareness and our heart. And so we're seeing some things in the world that correlate to that. So we're seeing a woman possibly becoming president of the United States of America, which maybe today doesn't seem too miraculous to you, but 20 years ago, that would have been profoundly miraculous. So we're seeing such huge shifts. And simultaneously, we're also seeing that a lot of people have hatred for this woman and despise her. And so in a certain sense, we're seeing all kinds of things related to our own unhealed issues around divine feminine, divine mother, and mother, father, God. And we're seeing it also in our experiences of talking about, is it just locker room talk if someone talks about molesting women? Is that okay? Is that okay for leaders to be predatory? And how do we feel about that? So, and a lot of women have been sexually molested and harassed and groped and grabbed. And I certainly have had all those experiences in my lifetime. And so a lot of people can get triggered by these issues, and it becomes, there's a lot of fear. So when we look at the fear, we look at what's getting triggered. First of all, everything works together for good. There are no exceptions. So everything that this political scene is triggering, everything that the terrorist experiences we're having in the world, the hurricanes and the fires and the different traumatic events, the killing of people just because of their or sexual orientation or their skin color or because of their job, because they're cops. All these different things that are happening on the screen of our life are things that are coming up for healing. And one of the tendencies is to go into attack. We think we're afraid because this one might become president or this one might not become president. We think we're afraid because I'm a person of color and people of color are being killed indiscriminately, or I'm a person, a lesbian, and people are killing lesbians, attacking lesbians. Or I'm afraid because my daughter is a drug addict, or I'm afraid because of this or that thing in the world. That's the tendency for many people, is to make all our fears related to the circumstances that we're seeing in our life. This is one of the biggest mistakes we can make as a spiritual student. We're never upset for the reason we think. That our perception, which is our fear, it's the meaning we make of it, it's our interpretation, that's the thing that's causing the upset. That's the thing that's causing the fear. And that's the thing that's within our control. Because we are the decider. We are the one who decides. When we decide to go into attack, every single time it's going to boomerang right back to us, because it's just like if we were dumping toxic waste into the drinking water and we're going to have the first cup of water with the toxic waste in it. So that's why we feel afraid, because when we're deciding to attack, we're actually deluding ourselves into thinking that our attack thoughts have no consequences. But this couldn't be further from the truth. Every single thought that we have has an effect, especially if we believe it. It's so potent. So this is why in chapter 2 of the text of A Course in Miracles, the chapter on, or the section on fear and conflict is immediately followed by the section on cause and effect. And so what it says there in chapter 2 is that all thoughts produce form at some level. And it says there are no idle thoughts. So because there are no idle thoughts, every thought produces form at some level. What is form? Form is more thought. Form is our consciousness. Form is our experience. Form is our emotions. Form is our physical body. Form is all of these things. And so thought brings things into manifestation, into our experience, so that we can look at it and examine, is this our treasure? So when my life looks like a toxic waste dump, and I look at my relationships and my finances and my body and my job and whatever's going on in my life, and I say, you know, this stuff is not very good. This stuff is freaking me out. I don't like it. It's not making me happy. I'm fearful a lot of the time. The quickest fix to change it all is to shift our mind about it. Now, that can cause a panic in a lot of spiritual students. How do I change my mind about it? Oh, for God's sakes, would somebody just tell me, how do I change my mind about my life? It's not that complicated. It's really extremely simple, but it does require great willingness. Not just a little bit of willingness. It really, to do it quickly and effectively, requires a great willingness, but not a whole lot more. It really requires willingness. Willingness, 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 but not a whole lot more. So we can just all kind of go, whew, okay, I can cultivate willingness. Now, one of the things that creates a lot of fear in our mind is this ego thought that we have to figure out how to solve all our problems. We have to figure out, first of all, how to understand them. We have to analyze them to understand them so we can figure out what the solution is. But that's not how things actually work. That's how the ego works, but that's not how spirit works. The way spirit works is we decide I'm 100% willing, or I'm 80% willing, or I'm 50% willing to change my mind about these things. And I'm going to give the changing of my mind to the Holy Spirit. And every day I'm going to begin, and this is one of the things that Jesus tells us right early in the course. He says, just say every day, you decide for me. In fact, in the fear and conflict section, which I was saying yesterday to, I recommend that you read it every day for a week, and then once a week after that. It's just a couple pages. He says here, the truth is that you are responsible for what you think. This is paragraph 2 of Fear and Conflict, which is section 6 in chapter 2. The truth is, this is my page 29. I have an old, worn copy here. The truth is that you are responsible for what you think, because it is only at this level that you can exercise choice. So you choose what you think. This is where your choice point is. Okay? Now he says, what you do comes from what you think. So your behavior comes from what you think. So we could say addictive compulsive behaviors that freak us out, that worry us, right? And we think we're afraid because of the addictive compulsive behaviors. But the addictive compulsive behaviors, what we do, comes from what we think. So this is what I was talking about yesterday. You're either operating from divine inspiration, the truth, moving through you. And inspiration is going to bring through you experiences of more peace, more love, more joy, more beauty, more creativity, more wisdom, more clarity, more freedom, more abundance, more prosperity. That's how you know you're in alignment with truth, is all those things are just flowing and flowing and flowing. And we have, most of us have moments where we feel, oh yeah, well, I'm in the flow right now. Ooh, cooking with gas. Oh yeah, cooking with gas, feeling that flow of love. And then we drop right out of it. What drops us out? We move into judgment. We move into opinions. We move into attack thoughts. So the truth is that you are responsible for what you think, and because this is, it is only at this level that you can exercise choice. What you do comes from what you think. You cannot separate yourself from the truth by giving autonomy to behavior. So what this means is that behavior is not autonomous from what you think. So nobody makes us do anything. People can't make us happy. They can't make us sad. They can't make us angry. And they can't make us do anything. They really can't. We have to decide. We are the decider. We are the decider. So you cannot separate yourself from the truth by giving autonomy to behavior. Your behavior is not autonomous. It comes from your thoughts. Now it says, this is controlled by me automatically. So this is Jesus saying to us that our behavior, our thoughts, what we do is controlled by him automatically as soon as we place what we think under his guidance. So starting the day with you decide for me, you guide me, and to stop making any decisions without him, without the Holy Spirit. And when I say without him, I really don't think of Jesus as a man. I think of Jesus as a wisdom stream of pure spirit, of Christ energy. So, and that's what we are. We are the Son of God. This is the teaching of A Course in Miracles. So let us not make any decisions on our own. And whenever we do make a decision on our own, it doesn't go well. So why would we want to do that? Well, the thing is we forget that we're part of the oneness. Because we don't value the oneness, we forget that we're part of it. It's, gosh, I think it's so strange, some of the things that Spirit gives me. I don't know. It doesn't even make sense to me, but I'm going to say it because I've learned to follow my intuition. So what I got was, it's like, if you, I don't get this, but we'll see what's revealed. It's if you had a beautiful barbecue grill, and you didn't use it, you kept it in the garage, you would forget that you have it because you don't value it. So we have amazing gifts and talents of discernment, of wisdom, of beauty, of joy, of truth, of prosperity and abundance, but we don't value them. Instead, we value our interpretations and the meaning we've made of things that happened in the past. And we put those things above our connection with God. And we, instead of treasuring that which is truly valuable, Course in Miracles tells us we are the treasure of God. Instead of treasuring ourselves as the treasure of God, treasuring our brothers and sisters and each other as the treasure of God, instead we treasure the meaning we made of the past. And we let that stand in place of living the truth, living in the flow of love, abundance, prosperity, and wholeness. So it says that all the circumstances are controlled by me automatically as soon as you place what you think under my guidance. Whenever you're afraid, it is a sure sign that you have allowed your mind to miscreate and have not allowed me to guide it. So the end of all fear, living without fear, is when we let Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the higher self, the guardian angel, the I Am presence, Atman presence, Buddha mind, whatever we'd like to call it, when we let that higher self intelligence instead of the ego guide us, then the end of fear comes. And when we're guided by Spirit, we're not going to be judging. We're not going to be complaining. We're not going to be criticizing. But you know, the thing is part of our experience in this world is to understand what it is to be the creator. And so by having this human experience, we can create beauty and perfection and beautiful expressions of prosperity and abundance and creativity and wisdom and clarity and harmony and all kinds of expressions of God's perfection. We can create them in this world. However, we tend to settle for making things of the ego. And then because we made them, we treasure them. And we become identified with these treasures that we made. And a few months ago, Spirit gave me a beautiful example of this that I shared on my radio show one time. And I'll just make a little plug for my radio show. So I have a Course in Miracles radio show on the Unity Church Network. unity.fm, and you can also access the podcast of it through Stitcher and through iTunes. So Stitcher works with all Androids and PCs, iTunes for the Mac environment, and there's more than 250 episodes of that radio show. They're all free. We're in the process of transcribing them right now, and as soon as, pretty soon, we'll be able to give you many of the transcripts for free download. So you can download the episodes for free, and soon you'll be able to download the transcripts for free. And I've had many guests on the radio show, lots of Course in Miracles teachers, Ken Wapnick, Gary Renard, David Hoffmeister, John Mundy, Nook Sanchez, Nick Davis, just on and on and on. I've had guests on the radio show. And there's also the A Course in Miracles app, which has the manual for teachers, and it has the text and the workbook in it, and that's totally free for you. So you can look at all three of those, and one of the nice things about that app is it has great features. So if you go to, right now it's just for Apple devices, so iPhones and iPads, but we're making a version for Android, and that one will be free as well. And in the Course in Miracles app, one of the things that you can do as a practical application of living without fear is in the app, you can set reminders. And you can set reminders that will have a text message that pops up. And it can pop up with a sound, or it can pop up silently or vibrate. You can set it different ways. And you can set it to give you that reminder at the same times every day, or every 15 minutes, or every hour, or however you like. You can set it up, and you can set it up to remind you between certain hours, so between 7 in the morning and 11 at night, or whatever's convenient for you. And that can help you work your Course in Miracles workbook lessons. And so that's one of the reasons why I designed it. So I see on my phone, the message pops up, and it shows me the I'm the one that decides what the message is, so you can just make it that lesson of the day. I'm never upset for the reason I think, and it can remind you again throughout the day. The other thing is you can set multiple reminders. So you could have one reminder every hour, and you could have a different reminder every half hour. So these kinds of tools can help you to remember to do your Course in Miracles practice. And so I like to use it as a check-in. So when I see the reminder, I hear the reminder go off on my phone, then I can just tune within. Okay, am I in opinion or judgment? Have I been thinking unloving thoughts? Am I at peace? Am I in tune with spirit? Am I partnered up, or am I aligned with ego? So I really appreciate that reminder that the app gives me. And so this is how we live without fear, is we become, like I was saying yesterday, attuned to whenever there's the tiniest bit of upset. It's that divine alarm clock going off, letting us know that our thoughts are not loving. Our thoughts are not actually even true. But there are no idle thoughts. All thought produces form at some level. So we can be like our Creator and create expressions of perfection, or we can miscreate, and then we're going to experience a learning that's painful through our miscreation. But A Course in Miracles tells us that we don't have to learn through pain. That's totally optional. We can learn more easily through joy if we put our learning under the direction of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus. And Jesus tells us that what changed everything for him in his human experience was He started listening only to the Holy Spirit's voice and not to any other voice. And again, I don't hear the Holy Spirit as a voice. It's a feeling. It's a thought. It's visual images. It's an array of things that come to me intuitively that let me know I'm being guided. And so one of the most helpful things in eliminating this pattern of fear is to start asking for help. And that's where I started yesterday's class, about learning the power of asking for help rather than managing and coping with fear. So again, like I said yesterday, that if we are feeling afraid and we say to Jesus, take the fear away, what he would say to us is, without the fear, feelings of fear, without the experience of fear, emotionally and mentally and physically, you wouldn't recognize when your mind has wandered to the ego, to the belief system, to the thoughts of lack, attack, limitation, and separation. It's that divine alarm clock going off. So he says, don't ask me to eliminate your experience of fear, but ask for help with the causes of fear. Because it's the causes of fear that are our thinking that we can get help with. That's where we can get a whole lot of help. And this is one of the things that a lot of spiritual students are, I think, not quite aware of, is we can ask for help all day long. And that's the wise path, because that is, every time we ask for divine assistance and help, we're willing to have a healing. We're willing to release the opinions and judgments. So our fear is a result of the opinions and judgments. And when we're willing to have a healing, we're going to have a healing, because there's no block to it. That's our little willingness is all that's required. And when we have a great willingness, then we can have a great healing. So all fear comes from choosing to think thoughts of lack, attack, limitation, and separation. So whenever that there's any kind of upset, we can say, higher Holy Spirit self, I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace. And I'd like to be at peace. So I'm the one that made the decision to go into lack, attack, limitation, and separation. And I am the one who's deciding now to go to you to remember the truth that sets me free. And as it says on the last page of chapter 5, page 90 in my text, the Holy Spirit will heal all the consequences of my wrong decision, my decision to attack. All the consequences of it will be healed if I let the healing happen, if I don't interfere. So a lot of spiritual students resist asking for help because they don't feel worthy, because they don't really want help. They would rather cling to their judgments and opinions than feel and experience the freedom and the peace of mind that comes when we're in our loving heart and we're no longer in attack mode. I know for myself, for a very long time, I lived in fear because I was constantly in attack mode, literally constantly in attack mode. Every day, all day long, I would take offense and I would judge and judge and judge. And in fact, I had such a strong pattern of judgment and attack that I really was almost never not in it. I really believed that my power and my sense of identity and self came from being the judger. And so one of the ways that I changed my mind and began to eliminate the causes of fear was to call upon the Holy Spirit to take the judgments out of my mind so I never thought them again. And that's exactly what I would say. I would say, I'm not interested in this pattern of fear anymore. I'm not interested in these judgments, in these opinions. I'm not interested in taking offense anymore. I am only interested in being a loving presence in my own life and in this world. Holy Spirit, higher self, please take these thoughts of lack, attack, limitation, and separation out of my mind so I never think them again. And let anyone else who has these kinds of thoughts, let them have a healing as well. I'm done with thinking these thoughts. I don't need them. I don't want them. They're no part of me. They are nothing. They are no thing. Now, sometimes I would say that, oftentimes when I would say that initially when I started this practice, I truly, to be honest with you, I just wanted to get out of suffering. I wasn't that I wanted to connect with God so much as I just wanted to end the pain. I just wanted to get out of fear. I just wanted to stop thinking I'm an idiot. I'm a moron. I'm a mean person. I'm unkind and self-attack. So, but the more I practiced it, the more I sincerely, really, really, truly wanted to have the connection with God rather than my judgments and opinions. And so things began to shift for me. And when I started this practice of giving the judgments and the opinions to the Holy Spirit for healing, I felt like I had to do it 100 times a day. I kid you not, 100 times a day. But I was really willing. And so I would do it 100 times a day. And I'm talking about doing it, meaning saying to the Holy Spirit, I am not interested in these thoughts anymore. Please take them out of my mind so I never think them again. I'm a creature of love and light, and that's all I'm interested in. Please share the benefits of my healing with everyone because I'm one with them. Thank you for my healing. And so I do that 100 times a day. And what I found was I started to have less and less fear. And I started to move into this place of I would recognize, oh, my peace is disturbed. I must be judging. What's the judgment? And then I could actually, in a sense, look at the judgment and say, do I need this thought about my neighbor? Do I need this thought? Is it really valuable to me? Would I rather have this thought than peace? Now, I'm going to take a sip of my apple cider here. I went through a period that felt very grueling to me. The more interested I became in being a really loving presence in my own heart, in my own life, the more I began to see how intensely judgmental I was, how intensely critical I was. And the tendency was to attack myself and to feel bad about myself because I had so many attack thoughts. So Holy Spirit taught me to begin to have a sense of humor about it and to not see myself as the attacker, but to really see it was identification with the ego, but not my true identity. And that was very helpful to me. And one of I can be very playful, and I like to laugh a lot, and to particularly to laugh at the insanity of our world sometimes. So one of the things that Spirit gave me was to, when I would start flowing into judgments and criticisms in my mind, I would interrupt the pattern by singing this little song where it's the charge song from baseball games, football games, and stuff like that. It's judge, 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 judge. And I would just do that for 2 or 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, and then I'd be smiling and laughing and not making my attack thoughts real. So it took me a little bit of time to be truly willing, but I began to move out of attacking myself for being the attacker. Now, I think one of the most important things I can say, aside from ask for help, ask for help, ask for help from the invisible realm, from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus, from the angels, one of the things that is very helpful is to really know that you can succeed and you will succeed, and that actually nothing can prevent you from succeeding if you're willing. You cannot fail. The light of God cannot fail. It's not even possible. And there's a simple tool that we have that's in A Course in Miracles, lesson 183, which is entitled, I Call Upon God's Name and My Own. And it says here in paragraph 2, God's name cannot be heard without response, nor said without an echo in the mind that calls you to remember. Say God's name and you invite the angels to surround the ground on which you stand and sing to you as they spread out their wings to keep you safe and shelter you from every worldly thought that would intrude upon your holiness. Yes. So I love that. And when I first read that, well, actually, it wasn't the first time I read it, but one point I read this and I actually got what was being said here. Say God's name, and you invite the angels to surround the ground on which you stand and sing to you as they spread out their wings to keep you safe and shelter you from every worldly thought, every ego thought that would intrude upon your holiness. So all we have to do is say God's name, God, Atman. Love, Spirit, Mother, Father, God, Great Mystery, however you want to call the name of God, it doesn't really matter. But then allow the angels to surround you. People think that Jesus is talking metaphorically here. The angels, if we ask the angels for help, they will help us. There's a number of references to angels in the Course, and this is one of my favorites. So practice it. Try it for a week. Every time you feel afraid, say, God, help me now. Angels, help me now. They'll come in and surround you and help you to raise your vibration up so that you can see more clearly, hear more clearly, feel more clearly, and know more clearly that you are love, and that's all that you are. That's all you'll ever be. And every thought that you have to the contrary is false. Yes, 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 yes. And you know, doing these simple practices, which cost you nothing but will change your life and help you eliminate the causes of fear, doing these practices is an act of self-love. And because love is what we are, when we're practicing self-love or loving others, then we're eliminating the sense of confusion and doubt and worry and fear, because we're remembering our true identity. We're loving ourselves free of thinking that we're not already perfect, whole, and complete. A Course in Miracles tells us, not quite in these words, but we're already as holy can be. And that's one of the things Jesus says to us is, you're already there. Stop thinking that you're not there. That's the whole mind training of A Course in Miracles, is to remember we're already there. We're already there. Nothing real can be threatened. We're already there. So this is how we are moving into that spiritual activism, that spiritual action, taking spiritual action by changing our mind about the world, by changing our mind about ourselves and our brothers and sisters. It's profoundly healing. If I hadn't been willing to do this work, and if I wasn't still willing to do this work every day, you would not be listening to me now. And we have thousands of people in these classes because the people who are sharing are willing to practice and live this. And so as I am lifted up, I draw all unto me. And many of the people who are listening to these classes are people who would like to have a career using their spiritual awareness and to have a spiritual career. And I'm all for supporting those people and feeling empowered to do what they love to do. In fact, last fall, I did a free series of classes called Stop Playing Small, and that was directly for the lightworker community, Stop Playing Small. And all those classes are still free, and you can get them. Alan Cohen was one of the teachers. You can get them at jenniferhadley.com on the events page, and it's called Stop Playing Small. It's a free series of classes just like this one. You can go there right now to jenniferhadley.com in the events page, and you can get all those downloads for free and all those transcripts for free as well. And I encourage you to do that, especially if you are someone who is a light worker or would like to be a light worker and have a light worker career. A lot of light workers are playing small. They're dealing with these issues. And these classes were designed as a support for you in healing those thoughts about yourself and about life and your career. Now's the time for us to rise and shine. And let's see, what else would I like to tell you about before we head out? Another thing is that on livingacourseofmiracles.com, we have free support for people who would like to start their own Course of Miracles study group. So I invite you to go and check out that free support for the study group and starting a study group. That's really important to me. So I hope you'll take advantage of that and use those resources there. Also, if you're interested in doing this work of self-love, this work play, and opening up to more joy and more peace and more harmony and more freedom, you might be inspired to come join me on retreat in Thailand next month, November, just about a month from now. There's incredible cheap airfares to Thailand. I just got a round trip New York to Bangkok just the other day for $500. Unbelievable. I can't go round trip to New York out to LA for $500 a lot of the time. So, wow. Come and join us. We're doing a whole week-long retreat in Thailand in a beautiful location at a resort, and we're going to set ourselves free with self-love. Yes, and then at the end of the year, we have the New Year's Reboot Retreat to start the new year right. And there's a lot more resources, free resources at jenniferhadley.com on the events page. And particularly, there is a free class that you can download called 7 Simple Steps to Interrupting the Patterns of Fear. And I didn't talk so much about those tools in this class so that you can also go and enjoy that, and it will help you as well. And also, one of the reasons that we cycle through the past and the attack and attack and attack so often is because we have not done the forgiveness work. And a lot of times people don't know how to do the forgiveness work. I just did a weekend retreat on forgiveness, and one of the best tools for that forgiveness work, I think, is I give you free in my How to Get Over It free workshop on the homepage at jenniferhadley.com, How to Get Over It. It's a free forgiveness workshop. I invite you to go sign up for it, download it, get the tools, and then make a plan to do it with a friend or a couple of people or your study group. Do the How to Get Over It free forgiveness workshop with some other people. Make an afternoon or an evening or a morning of it. Have some food. You can listen to the recordings and do the processes and Believe me, it will be deeply healing. I get a lot of appreciation for that free workshop because people struggle for decades sometimes and get very depressed over unforgiveness issues, and they can have a healing so quickly, and it's life-changing. I love doing the forgiveness work and sharing about it, so I hope you'll take advantage of that. And if you know anyone who's struggling to forgive, that forgiveness workshop will support them, so please do share it with them on the homepage at jenniferhadley.com. Share it at Facebook, etc. All right, so I am going to say a prayer and close us out here. One last thing is thank you to all the people who have been inspired to donate and contribute to support these classes, our being able to afford the transcription team and the web team and all the different pieces of this, all supported by your donations. So thank you for making it possible so we can just give it away to thousands of people all over the world to invite them to study A Course in Miracles, invite them to live a life of liberation and freedom from fear. So let's, in gratitude, place our hand on our heart here and just give thanks. Give thanks that we've given ourselves this gift to walk and talk with the Holy Spirit and to set ourselves free of all limiting thoughts and beliefs. So grateful. So grateful to open our hearts and open our minds to the unprecedented life of love. So grateful that it is our true nature and our true identity to live with wholeness, to express wholeness, to express freedom, to express abundance and prosperity, to express wisdom and clarity and joy. So grateful to consciously partner up, connect and commune with the higher Holy Spirit self to lead us and guide us every day in every way. In gratitude, we are accepting a healing right here and right now. We are truly sharing the benefits with everyone because we're one with them. We are truly inspired to be willing. We are truly inspired to give up the thoughts of lack, attack, limitation, and separation and trade them all for the truth that sets us free. In gratitude, we let it be. We allow our healing to be. And so it is. Amen. 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 God bless you. I thank you so much for joining with me today. May all your days be blessed. And may you feel that you are a blessing wherever you go, whatever you do. Thank you for blessing me today. Mwah. This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.